told everyone. I told you all. 124-1, Justin Rose. It's the play you have to make, Jeff. Don't check the tapes. Just believe me. I never tell a lie. Wow. First round of the Masters in the books. We'll get a lot to that. Jeff Parles hanging out tonight. What's up, brother?
Tim, it's awesome to be on the desk with you. Filling in for you a few weeks ago was odd, seeing your face up there and you not being here. But it's much better with you in person next to me.
We'll have some fun here tonight. And got three NBA games going to tip off momentarily. And a couple that I think have some real intrigue. Detroit and Sacramento may not be the most sexy of the bunch. The other two, which we'll lead off the show with, Phoenix visiting the Clippers. And, Jeff, last night we saw Phoenix and Utah play a tremendous game going back and forth. And we're going to get into Phoenix here in the first segment about whether or not they're not getting enough respect. But just looking at this game, we've got some of the props up there. Devin Booker, over under 26.5, coming off his 30-plus point performance. You got Chris Paul, that looks tasty at 16.5, considering how he played last night. And Paul George at 22.5, Kawhi Leonard 25.5. And just looking at the spread for this game, open 4.5 in favor of the Clippers. Now has been bet up to 6 pretty much everywhere, but here at the Circa, it's a juiced 5.5 in favor of the Clippers.
This just feels like a bad spot for Phoenix tonight. Coming off of that emotional win last night in overtime, I mean, they took Donovan Mitchell's best punch and they still won that game last night at home against Utah. If you told me 3 months ago that Utah and Phoenix would be record 1-2 in the league and playing an epic Wednesday night game, I would have laughed at you 3 months ago, but here we are. And for tonight, I've been looking at that 6 the whole night, wanting to take Phoenix, but I can't do it because just the spot is just so bad for them coming off of that game. And a dramatic win in overtime against Utah.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like a trap.
Yes,
it feels too good to be true. A little stinky, as I would like to say. a little stinky. The public, you would imagine the public would be heavily on Phoenix. That's just my hunch right now.
I would agree.
And a total of 221, I would say average of 221, 220.5 here at Circa, 221 at Westgate, 221.5 at the South Point. So, yeah, and this Clippers team, once again, we're going to get into it a little bit later on. Does Devin Booker keep it rolling? It was interesting today, and this is what happens. I wouldn't say so much here on our network, but others' networks. Hey, is Chris Paul a MVP candidate? I love Chris Paul. I think he's underrated. What he did last year in Oklahoma City, Jeff, was unbelievable.
Incredible.
And what he's doing now, how he's elevated this, helped elevate, I won't say solely, but, you know, the Phoenix Suns were the talk of the bubble, went undefeated, didn't get into the play-in game, and he comes in and really has helped elevate that team, obviously, to where they are now. But let's pump the brakes on the MVP discussion a little bit.
Well, as someone who's sitting here with a 500-1 ticket on Chris Paul to win the MVP,
then you could,
I am okay with pushing this forward. Look, it's just...
Did you call Stephen A. and then make him?
Well,
did you call the producers of what Get Up or whatever?
Use my little connections there in Bristol and move the dial there. But no, look, the big thing is, and I forget who tweeted this last night, but it's pretty funny though, where Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets are usually just playing any normal opponent, not on national television. Jokic goes for his near usual triple double on the same night. We're Chris Paul and Devin Booker. We're both incredible last night in that win against Utah, but there's just too many people for Chris Paul to hop. And again, like I said, holding a 500-1 ticket, I would love it if Chris Paul would have a real chance here. But look, just looking at the odds board, though, Tim, with all the injuries that have beset a bunch of guys near the top, Chris Paul probably should be in the area code where Damian Lillard and Luka Doncic are right now, as opposed to being triple digits in most spots.
Yeah, so. And you can get Chris Paul right now, just pulling up DraftKings as we speak, 150-1.
Yeah, that's a huge number for, again, Phoenix could get the one seed in the Western Conference and have the NBA's best record, and then you get all sorts of narrative play in Chris Paul's favor.
Well, I can tell you what, right now, for your 500-1 ticket, let's hope for Chris Paul, another back-to-back big nights on a big stage. Yeah. That would be perfect for Jeff's 500-1 ticket. We got another big game, Jazz and Blazers, to get to. Also, a little cover watch going on down in Miami. A lot to get to. Let's get it rolling. We get the night rolling. It is the Nightcap, live from the Circus Sportsbook. Tim Murray and Jeff Parles, who was filling in a couple weeks ago for me while I was sitting down in Miami. So I appreciate you helping out. Well, Fort Lauderdale, to be exact. I was hanging out with the parents. I wasn't living it up on South Beach. I was down in Del Boca Vista, so to speak.
Fort Lauderdale's still really darn good.
It was terrific.
Still great.
Sat there and watched a lot of college basketball. So, but it's great to have you on set for the next couple of nights. Big show ahead. Wes Reynolds, I think everyone knows him. We'll recap the first round of the Masters. Jeff and I'm sure we'll recap some of our plays, some of our best bets, some of our ones that don't look so good right now. And it was a eventful first day of the Masters. We'll get to it in just a moment. But before we really get the ball rolling, we talked about Suns and Clippers. Let's get to the other premier matchup of the evening, and that is Jazz and Blazers. And we talked about the Suns, you know, going into overtime against Utah last night, taking Donovan Mitchell, as you said, best punch, which is absolutely a terrific way to put it, because he, you know, hits that three, forces overtime, and the Phoenix Suns are able to pull away, though, in OT, 117-113. Still pour one out to the folks who had the under in that game, because that was a dead under game. And then you've got Portland at Utah tonight. So Utah's coming off this loss. I didn't pull the trigger. I kind of want to. Maybe I will on the app here, but I like Portland a little bit in this spot, getting 5.5. Open 7, certainly would have loved the 7. Here at Circa, it's Utah at a juiced 5, minus 5, 115, and then 5.5 at South Point and the Westgate and other spots as well. Before we take a look at the prop board, just your thoughts on this game. You know, Portland getting points is always intriguing, knowing how strong offensively they are. And you mentioned Phoenix, right? Phoenix is getting points tonight against the Clippers. Mm-hmm. Utah's laying points against Portland, coming off of that overtime loss. Could they be upset? Could they be fired up? Sure. Or they could also be a little bit tired going up against a team that is never a ton of fun to play against.
No, not at all. And no Jordan Clarkson tonight, the prohibitive favorite sixth man of the year. Won't be there for Utah. I would only bet Portland here. Of course, we would have loved to have gotten the best of the number overnight on getting a whole 7. I think that's still pretty good at 5.5 with Portland. The only concern that I have is that the Blazers' defense is still bad.
Mm-hmm.
And if even with playing that overtime game last night for Utah, they still are a very efficient three-point shooting team. And if you get yourself good looks against a Portland defense that has all sorts of problems all over the court, this could be a game where Utah shoots Portland out of it quickly, and then you're just hoping for a backdoor at the end.
Yeah, and I think it was last Friday when Portland was hosting the Milwaukee Bucks, and I took the points. I think they were a home dog of 4 against Milwaukee. Giannis went off for 47.
And how much you can do.
and with this Portland team, you know, thinking back to that game and knowing, oh, man, it's Giannis. There's just no interior presence there for this Portland team. Rudy Gobert, now he can go off offensively, but he can't go off for 47. I mean, and the interesting thing going back to, and JVT was on pre-flop on Phoenix and actually was able to middle it last night, so well done, JVT. But what was so interesting was Phoenix is a team, Jeff, that thrives at the mid-range. Chris Paul is one of the best mid-range shooters of all time. He's so prolific there. And Devin Booker's pretty solid too. And Rudy Gobert, as great of a rim protector as he is, doesn't really get out in that mid-range area. And that's what they did so well last night. Portland, you know, they're a team that just wants to bomb threes on you. Norm Powell comes in. He's hitting 40% of his threes. Obviously, Dame, CJ McCollum. Not a team that really accentuates the negative there for the Jazz. But, if I had to play it, I would take the points with Portland.
You're not a fan of Nurkic having to go up against Rudy Gobert. It's not the greatest matchup for him, obviously.
Not so much.
But look, just looking at the props that we had on the board before, I would actually be inclined to take Gobert's rebound total over 12.5.
This never a bad proposition.
It's never a bad idea. And also, too, Portland will speed this game up. There will be more possessions in this game. So I would look to an over 12.5 on Gobert's rebound total. That would be the one prop on that board that I do like.
Yeah, and Rudy Gobert, it's funny, sitting in this spot with the West Coast games, you know, tipping off around this time, and we'll get tip off here in just a moment. You know, you pick up on these trends of West Coast teams. You know, for a while it was Enes Kanter just getting tons of boards and hitting his prop every single night. Then you would see it with Draymond Green and the assists.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that was a cash cow for, felt like 12. They could, the market just couldn't rack its mind around this guy is going to have 11, 12 assists every single game.
Well, again, that's the one thing in these prop markets where, to me, the prop markets are a little bit easier to beat than your traditional markets, just because sometimes you get a stretch like that where the computer's spitting out 7.5, 8.5. And you're watching, especially these West Coast teams, and it's like, wait a second, Draymond Green is been double digits six straight games, like that run was with the assists, or earlier in the year, like you said, with Kanter, who when they had no other big guys, Kanter was the only guy who was able to get a rebound on that team. So it's just some of those where they couldn't make the numbers higher, and there are still numbers out there, and especially with these bad teams, where a lot of people are still trying to figure out A, who are these people, and B, how many minutes are some of these young guys going to play? I mean, Theo Maledon on Oklahoma City was a guy who you could have gotten single digits, low teens for a good chunk of his first few games with Oklahoma City, and he was just blasting through that for about a week and a half.
Speaking of Oklahoma City, JVT has brought this up. JVT will join the show a little bit later on, and he can expound on this. The over on OKC wins, I think you're three away from clinching the over. And tonight was one of those nights. We talked about it last night, Jeff, where if you are holding an OKC over ticket, for the most part of this year, you were trending so much in the right direction. They are going to lose by 27 at home to Cleveland tonight. Oy. They are down 129 to 102. It is going to be a serious sweat to get those final three wins for Oklahoma City to hit this over, and you would have never thought that. I hope that if anyone out there has an OKC over wins ticket, that you get this one home, because you are absolutely on the right side, but my goodness, it is ugly, and they are getting blown out, and they are all in on tanking the rest of the season. Has gone final, 129-102. The Cleveland Cavaliers, folks, who went off. The Cavaliers were a 4.5-point road favorites.
Oh, man.
And they won by 27. That just shows you where OKC is right now.
Well, it's kind of like earlier this week where Detroit, heavy Detroit, 3.5-point road favorite and won by 24.
There's a reason. There's a reason, yeah, folks, that these teams would be laying points on the road.
Just looking at Oklahoma City's schedule, the only positive thing that you have if you're holding that over ticket right now is they play Sacramento three times. And we know Sacramento is capable of doing anything to the good or bad, Tim. So, oh, man, it's tough, though. I mean, they play the Wizards at home. There are no games left they're going to be favored, especially with the line that you saw tonight where lowly Cleveland is nearly a 5-point road
favorite. And that's kind of the interesting thing. And we've had this discussion quite a bit, Jeff, about the Lakers. And right now we're on cover watch with the Lakers and the Heat. With no Kyle Kuzma, we saw this line go up. I think it touched 10 at some spots, but settled in Miami laying 9.5. And right now it's 104.94. We're also on total watch with a minute 47 to go. The Lakers have been a dead under team. We talked about it last night, Jeff, where this thing opened 204.5, and both JVT and I said this might be the time to get in on that over. It was the second lowest total of the entire season at 204.5. It was trending over, and now it looks like the Lakers have gotten a little bit cold, but a big three from the corner, so we're now at 201.
201, yeah.
Okay, so you're feeling okay if the Lakers start to foul here, but you look at the Lakers, and without AD and without LeBron, Kyle Kuzma ruled out today, and you look at this road trip that they're on, Jeff, and them beating Toronto was massive. That game went off a pick, but you know, for the Lakers, and we'll talk about the futures market in regards to the Phoenix Suns, but it kind of all comes together. The Lakers are still, I believe, the favorites to come out of the Western Conference, Jeff. And understandably so. They're the defending champs, right? They have LeBron. They have AD. LeBron has been a lower seeded team before, and those are some comparison odds out there. Circa has the longest on the Lakers, but they're still the favorite in the Western Conference. But my question about the Lakers, and we've been pondering these past couple of days, Jeff, is this road trip that they're on. They beat Toronto yesterday, which was massive for them. That went off a pick. They were a 9.5-point dog at Miami. They'll be a double-digit dog on Saturday night, assuming health for the Brooklyn Nets. Now, yeah. James Harden will be out, but KD is back. Played 17 minutes last night in a blowout win for the Brooklyn Nets. They'll probably be a slight dog against the Knicks on the road, which is just crazy.
When's the last time that happened?
I don't even know. Patrick Ewing. Charlotte, that one's interesting. That might be a pick because of Charlotte and all the injuries they're dealing with. Home to Boston, I think they might be a slight favorite there. JVT said he feels like the Utah series to him might be that spot where LeBron is targeting a return. But even if LeBron returns, you're a dog against Utah, I would think. At
home, least the first leg you are.
Yeah, and then you got two games against Dallas. This stretch for the Lakers is really challenging. They're going to lose here tonight. They may cover. It's 106-97. 203 is the total as we keep an eye on that total. But the Lakers, man, they are in some tricky territory when it comes to that Western Conference standings as they're in fifth place, game and a half up on the Portland Trail Blazers. By the end of the day, they could be only a half game up if Portland wins.
For me, Tim, with the Lakers, the only thing that matters is that they have to stay out of the 7-8 playoff.
Game.
That is the only thing that matters to them. And right now, assuming they lose tonight, and Dallas is playing a tight game with the Bucks right now, 1-point game at halftime. So Dallas could make up a game and get that to 2.5.
And by the way, sorry to interrupt, but yeah. There is a LeBron should be back, but as I mentioned in that schedule, there's a back-to-back in Dallas in late April.
I was just about to bring that up because if LeBron misses the target date,
right,
then you have, again, the schedule's brutal.
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 It's
absolutely
really tough.
Brutal until they play at Orlando on April the 26th. They are in big-time danger of falling into the seven. And again, if they end up in a 7-8 play-in game, it doesn't matter where the game is with those teams that are down there with them. They'll more than likely win that 7-8 playoff, get the 7 seed. But then again, your first-round matchup becomes increasingly more difficult. Granted, again, if the Clippers end up with the 2 seed, the Lakers, I'm sure, would love to see the Clippers in the first round and torture them a little bit further. But look, they're in a lot of trouble, especially with how hard that schedule is these next few weeks. And again, it's not a high ankle sprain is a hard injury to come back from for a basketball player, no matter how big of a cyborg LeBron is.
I was like, there is the caveat of it's a superhuman
LeBron.
LeBron, and somehow he'll overcome it and none the worry. But I've been talking about this for a while, and that leads me into the Western Conference odds. And with Phoenix, you know, we were talking about this, Jeff, really early on in the year when Utah was making their magical run of, you know, 19 out of 20 in the win column, covered all, whatever it was. It was ridiculous. It was a 20-game stretch of just awesomeness from the Utah Jazz. And it took a while for the market to adjust and really buy in because it was always Los Angeles, and then everybody else. And then it became, over time, it became LA, and Utah. And then the Eastern Conference, it's kind of, now it's become Brooklyn, space, everybody else. Phoenix is the 2 seed right now in a pretty comfortable situation. They're right now three games up on the Clippers. And look at those odds, Jeff. You could get them at BetMGM at 11-1 to win the Western Conference, 12-1 at DraftKings, 10-1 at Westgate. You're talking about a team who's the second-plus team in the West, 36-14, and you could get them this isn't NBA Finals odds on April 8th. This is to come out of the Western Conference. I feel like we're getting to the point where it's almost worth taking a bite of the apple on the Phoenix Suns when you're telling me I could get 12-1 on the second best team in the Western Conference. It feels like, am I missing something? And by the way, could the Phoenix Suns lose in the first round to Dallas? Absolutely.
100%.
I mean, that sucks. I mean, honestly. I mean, just putting it point blank. You're like, man, I get the 2 seed, we either play Dallas or we play the Lakers. I mean, that those are your realities there.
Well, or if Golden State finds a way to get to the eighth seed, catches Memphis, takes out Dallas in a game, and you got to play Steph Curry a best. I mean, I'd much rather have Golden State. Right.
Figure out a way to get by that.
But look, looking at these numbers, and Tim, I did take a little piece of Phoenix about 2 weeks ago at 15-1 to win the West, because it was apparent that the two seed was possible, and especially with the way that the Clippers sit their guys, and we've seen that this whole year. Phoenix is three games ahead of the Clippers. And obviously, if the Clippers get them tonight, it'll be two. But still, a two-game lead with 15 games to play, where the other team is okay with having the three seed, that's a good spot to be. If you're Phoenix, they're kind of like Denver last year, where the number just didn't move quickly enough. Then Denver gets the three seed, obviously, to make the Western Conference Finals, and you don't get home. But look, there will be opportunities. Prop swaps out there. You get a scenario where the Suns make the Western Conference Finals. There are ways to get out of that.
Yeah, and they'll be a dog, as those odds indicate. They'll be a dog against Utah, against the Clippers, if they end up in the four spot and they're on the other side of the bracket against Denver. I think they would even be a slight dog in that. The over has not hit, but it is about to hit in Miami, and the Lakers may cover. We're on cover watch down in South Beach. We'll get you updated on the games that just tipped off as well. Just up and running, it is the Nightcap here on VSiN. Jeff Parles, Tim Murray, live from Circa. Welcome back to the Indeed.com studio here at the Circa Resort and Casino. Hiring? Start finding the right people right away. Visit Indeed.com/credit. It is the Nightcap, and we do have a final in the Lakers Heat game. Lakers cover. Get the cover. 9.5. And the over hits trending under all night, trending under the past 10 games. It was trending over all night. It was not a bad beat. The over does ultimately hit. So the dog and the over come home down in Miami tonight.
Well, that's a quality job if you took the Lakers getting the points tonight. I didn't touch that game at all.
I didn't. But yeah, once I saw Kyle Kuzma was out, I didn't play it. I did look at the under, and JVT and I were talking about it. I'm curious if JVT ultimately played the under in that game, because he felt like it was a bit of that opportunity where the market had maybe overcorrected itself. And this Lakers team right now, I'm just paraphrasing what JVT tells me, but has been so reliant, Jeff, on just bombing threes, you know, without any inside presence. They're getting up and down. So we do have a tweet from our good friend at Bad Pete Moss. He said he has a ticket on the OKC over. And he said, I took OKC over after reading JVT's suggested play in the NBA betting guide. It may get there. I don't think JVT anticipated the absolute all-time tank job to happen here late in the season. So we will see. You were on the right side, but when you can't go to the counter and say, hey, I was on the right side. Can I have my money? That doesn't work.
I wish it worked that way.
That would be nice. It's on the right side all night. It was a bad beat. So we will see. But Oklahoma City not in great shape. Let's get you updated on a couple games going on. We will get to the Masters here. Wes Reynolds going to join us in about 18 minutes or so. And then we'll get you the updated odds after Justin Rose. Tremendous. Ooh. Today. 7-under as he was scorching Augusta, and nobody really else was, Jeff. That was the thing. This was not your November course. This was,
no,
and
not.
this made the folks down in Augusta National, I think, very happy. They were not thrilled by seeing DJ's, you know, 20 under in November.
No, the greens are back to their regular selves again, which is really the biggest thing. I mean, you saw more putts go 5 feet past today than it felt like you did the entire tournament back in November. And again, I'm sure we'll ask Wes this, Tim, but Justin Rose's 10-hole stretch today where he went 9-under, that might be one of the best stretches we've ever seen played on that golf course.
He was 2-over after 7.
Yeah.
And then he has the eagle, and then he goes nuts, like you said. Eagle, birdie, par, par, birdie, birdie, par, birdie, birdie, and finishes with back-to-back par. Unbelievable.
Crazy.
So he shoots a 65 today. He'll be back at it tomorrow. He is now 4-1 at most spots. Actually, he's 4-1 at DraftKings, and that's one of the better numbers you're going to find out there. He's plus 330 here at Circa. Really impressive today for Justin Rose, who, as we'll get into a little trivia, tied for the most first-round leads ever at the Masters. Tied with a guy by the name of Jack Nicklaus.
Not bad. Not bad company.
Decent company. Decent company there. And JVT's guy, Hideki Matsuyama, played well today. 3-under. Was 4-under. Had a bogey on 17. Ends up with a 3-under 69 today. But I know JVT was... I think no matter what, he has to roll with Hideki Matsuyama. That's his guy.
Look, and again, as we've seen in this tournament before... There's only been four players ever to go wire to wire in this thing. So it's going to be difficult for Rose. And again, it'll be interesting to see because just the one factor, though, Tim, that makes Rose's round even more impressive, the afternoon was hellacious conditions. The wind was ridiculous, and Rose still fired that 7-under. So, look, goes out tomorrow, shoots 69, and is 10-under going to the weekend. That may be tough to catch, though.
Yeah, and Jordan Spieth, there's a reason why his odds, he's got the second shortest odds outside of Justin Rose. You know, you look at John Rahm plus 1250. I'm looking at Circa right now, but, Patrick Reed plus 1350. Jordan Spieth had a good round outside of his triple bogey, and he was even able to bounce back after the triple on 9.
Well, nothing like having an under par round with a 7 on there. And one other factor that I heard while listening on the PGA channel on SiriusXM, no player has ever won the Masters with a triple bogey in the tournament. Mm. So a little bit of history against Spieth to make a comeback here.
We'll get you updated on the NBA. Clippers and Phoenix Suns underway, as is Blazers Jazz. We'll get you updated on those, a little more Masters talk as well. It's Nightcap here on VSiN. Masters Week, and no one has better golf betting coverage than VSiN. Subscribers have access to our full Masters coverage on VSiN.com with current odds and analysis of key golfers and picks from our experts. Also, I'm sure you already checked it out, but rewatch it. The Long Shots episode with Brady Cannon, Wes Reynolds, Matt Eumanns, Scott Van Pelt joins. Heard from Scotty on the ESPN broadcast. And oh, by the way, Wes Reynolds, he'll join us in 10 minutes to give us his thoughts on the first day down in Augusta and those updated odds. It's the first major of the year, and our golf team is already in midseason form. So make sure you start your VSiN free trial today to keep up with all the action, including daily email updates on betting options for each round, 24/7 video coverage, full access to our coverage on VSiN.com, and picks from all of our experts. Sign up now, VSiN.com/subscribe. Jeff Parles, Tim Murray with you. Here it is, the Nightcap. We'll get you updated on a couple of the late night NBA games here in a moment. But what were the plays that you had? Good and bad. We like to be honest. As people know, I'll let you know when I lose bets, and it's a little too frequent. But what were some of the plays that you had for the Masters?
So I have to pull up my spreadsheet.
You had Justin Rose to win outright, top 10, top 20, and in every matchup.
Yeah, no, I 100% there, Tim. No, the only one, the one that looks really good right now, and again, a lot of golf to be played, is I have Matsuyama top 20.
Nice.
So that looks pretty good. Before the show, I was complaining to you and our producer Aaron about the fact that the Masters went back and penalized Abraham Answer.
Oh yeah,
two shots. Who That's was tied for 20? I have a top 20 out of them. They lose the two shots. Yeah. Now tied for 42nd. So that's gonna hurt. Bubba Watson top 20. That was one that looked good for 16 holes, and then he implodes the last two holes of the day. And then the one really bad one I had. And Dylan Fratelli, top 20. He'd been in such good form going into this tournament. I had got him at 4-1, and he's 4 over. So right now, the one that looks good, the Matsuyama one, looks very good so far. And to win markets, I have a little bit of JT pre-tournament. At, again, 12-1, 11-1. He's not done.
I don't think so. I have JT to win as well. I know a lot of people were high on him. We were talking to Steve Sands last night, and he certainly believed that JT could win this. He's one over, but you know, you think about the way things started for him: bogey at 2, bogey at 5, bogey at 7, back 9, you know, birdie at 10, birdie at 16. So yeah, JT in decent shape. Certainly, you get a better number on him now than pre-tournament. So maybe we reinvest in Justin Thomas. I do have JT at top 10 here at Circa. Not the best odds in the world. I think it was plus 115. And then I'm on Spieth top 10. A couple matchups that I had. I ended up, we didn't talk about it on the show. I actually got convinced about it last night on the show, and it made me feel good. It was Xander Schauffele plus 127 over Bryson DeChambeau,
Yeah.
What did he say? It was
67's this, par.
Yeah. He shot a 76. a little karma. Yeah. A little karma there for Bryson DeChambeau. So that one looks good. I did a lot of people this week were very high on Paul Casey. So I went in on Casey a little bit on 52-1. He's one over, so tied for 20th. However, I did play his matchup and laid a decent amount of juice. I think it was minus 143 here at Circa for him to beat Will, was it Zalatoris?
Zalatoris, who's currently tied for 4th.
Yeah, that one not looking great. Never know. We'll see what happens to Zalatoris. And then the final one that looks all right, Francesco Molinari, didn't really play that well today. He's 2 over, tied for 30th. However, I listened to Jonathan Coachman, who came on the show on Tuesday, and he said, fade Matt Wolf. And I said, all right, let me find a matchup with Matt Wolf in it. Matt Wolf, like Bryson DeChambeau, T60, 4 over. So, mixed bag. You know, I mean, and it's just one day. A lot of things can happen. We'll talk to Wes coming up here momentarily, but it's great. You know, we've been saying this so long. We've said about the NCAA tournament, you know, as the football season went on. But I know it's not full capacity down there at Augusta, but to see some patrons down there, a little bit of the roar when things are going, it's that sense of normalcy setting in. And it's the right time of year. It was weird in November when you're thinking about your football bets and your college football bets. You're like, oh, yeah, the Masters is going on, too.
Well, and also, again, to bring up that point there, Tim, it feels like Dustin Johnson won about 3 minutes ago.
Right.
It's nice to have it back. And also, too, just like, again, we still have a ways to go in this pandemic. But when the Masters got canceled on that Friday after everything else got canceled or postponed, I should say, for the Masters, that was when you realized, okay, we're in this for a while here. So it's really nice to have it back again in April. And again, it kind of was like baseball for me. I the week before baseball season started, I'm like, oh yeah, baseball starts in a week. We're back on the regular calendar. And then as soon as Gonzaga gets beat by Baylor on Monday night, it's like, oh yeah, the Masters are in 3 days.
Yeah. It is, Jim Nantz is back to his normal greatest week anyone could ever imagine as a broadcaster. Final four right into sitting there at the Masters. So Dustin Johnson, speaking of him, tied for 30th at 2 over And right now, DJ, depending on where you look, 22-1 is here at Circa for Dustin Johnson. So we'll get to Wes here in just a moment. Let's get you updated, though, on the two big boy basketball games going on right now. End of the first quarter, Utah has a 30-29 lead. And I didn't end up pulling the trigger. I should have. We'll see what happens. But Utah was getting or laying 5.5. And I just feel like this game, Jeff, has a real chance of being close. If you laid anything in the first quarter, the total, 59.5.
Oh, that's brutal for over backers. So far, it's been a CJ McCollum game for Portland. He has 8 right out of the gate. The Gobert suggestion looking pretty good. 5 rebounds
good
in
call.
The first quarter for Rudy Gobert. And Donovan Mitchell doing his thing again. He's 11 in the first quarter.
Yeah, Spider, I think, you know, it's funny. He's another guy that has just gotten completely overlooked in the MVP market.
100%.
You know, this is the best player on the best team and nowhere to be seen in the MVP market.
Well, that's the one problem with playing your games in Salt Lake City, Tim.
That is true. Karl Malone won at 97, and it made Jordan very mad.
He took it personally. It only made that Jordan was even better in those finals. That's all that happened there.
I've been rewatching The Last Dance at night. I just, you know, when things are off, I'm just like, why not? Throw on out. Just watched episode 9. That was the Steve Kerr episode. And Karl Malone won the MVP. Clippers up 20-19 right now. That one late in the first quarter, media timeout there. So a low scoring first quarter so far in the Clippers and Suns. Jeff Parles, Tim Murray. We'll check in with Wes Reynolds next, get his thoughts on the first round and what to look for moving forward in the Masters right here on the Nightcap. VSiN brings you the English Premier League betcast for the derby match between Fulham and Wolverhampton at 3 p.m. Eastern. Presented by BetRivers Sportsbook, VSiN EPL betcast is the best way to keep you up to date with soccer betting action live during the matches. Join Nigel Seeley and Harry Simeu as they talk betting during the biggest match of the weekend. If you're new to in-play soccer betting, they'll show you the ropes and the smartest plays of the day. Visit VSiN.com/EPL to tune in at 3 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. And that is, once again, VSIN.com/EPL. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. Jeff Parles, Tim Murray with you. We're going to catch up with Wes Reynolds here momentarily. Milwaukee and Dallas. This was a game we had not hit on yet, Jeff. Coming down end of the third quarter, and Milwaukee up just a point. They went off as a 2.5-point dog against Dallas.
No Giannis again. Yeah. Still resting that knee. But
has to make you a little bit worried about the Bucks here.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that, especially long term. And again, I'm not a huge Buck believer to begin with anyway. I like Brooklyn and Philadelphia much more than them. But so far, so good. 84-80 through 3. How about Bobby Portis leading the way tonight with 18 points?
Yeah, it's been balanced scoring. Bobby Portis, 18. Dante, the Delaware Jordan DiVincenzo, was 17 points. You know about him, the Delaware Jordan.
Of course. The big ragu himself.
The big ragu. Let's bring in Wes Reynolds to recap what we saw today in the Masters. Look ahead to Friday and the weekend. And Wes, heading in, was your biggest bet Justin Rose plus 124-1 going into the weekend?
It was not, and I wish it would have been. I would like to certainly be on a 4-shot lead. But Justin Rose, I mean, he gained so much on the putting today. It seemed like he made every putt on the back 9 inside of 10 feet. And look, I don't think a lot of people saw this coming, because just a few weeks ago in Orlando, he took a 9 on a hole and then withdrew with some back problems and didn't play the Players Championship, didn't play the match play. So we hadn't seen him in a little over a month, and he goes out and shoots 7-under 65 for a 4-stroke lead. So he's had the lead at the Masters before. Of course, people remember that playoff several years ago where he lost to Sergio Garcia. So, you know, he was kind of at like a midlife crisis in terms of his golf game, where he just turned 40, and it's like, does he have some good golf left, or have we seen the best of Justin Rose? Clearly, he had some good golf left today.
Wes, just asking a piggyback here on Rose, because you see him go 9-under in 10 holes. Wes, you've been watching this tournament for years now. Is that the best 10-hole stretch you've ever seen in Augusta?
It's certainly one of the best, Jeff. And when I was looking at this, 4 shots clear of the field, he is the 24th first-round solo leader. Now, this doesn't include guys with shares of the lead, but since 1985, he's the 24th first-round solo leader. However, kind of the bad thing for Rose, I hate to break bad news to his backers, 23 of those have not gone on to win the green jacket. The only one that was a first-round solo leader since 85 to be able to get that green jacket on Sunday was Jordan Spieth in 2015. So Rose probably at this point, you would say he can be taken on in the in-play market. I talked about he gained over 5 strokes gain putting, number one in the field. So look, nothing regresses more round to round than putting. Usually the approach game or the off the tee game stays true. Putting can go up and down. So I think you can take on Rose in the in play market.
Talking once again to Wes Reynolds, and you can follow Wes on Twitter at Wes Reynolds, one co-host of the Long Shots, and you see him all over the place here on VSiN. Jordan Spieth has the second shortest odds anywhere. And those odds vary a little bit here at Circa, 8-1. Westgate was plus 750. I think DraftKings around 7-1. What did you take away from Spieth's performance today, Wes? There was a ton of buzz on him. We talked about it. I'm sure you guys talked about it as well on Long Shots. You know, it wasn't that long ago where he was 60-1 to win the Masters, and then he got hot. He wins last weekend. He had the triple at 9, but bounced back with a birdie right away at 10, had that big eagle at 15. What did you take away today from Spieth's performance?
Yeah, tee to green, Tim. He was one of the best in the field. He didn't really get a lot going with the putt, except for that eagle he made on the back nine, where it seems like Jordan Spieth, you know, he makes like every putt. It's like, how does this guy do it? He doesn't hit it particularly long. He doesn't hit it really straight, but somehow he's getting it done. And look, at this point, 7-2, probably really, really not for me going forward, or actually 15-2, I should say, at plus 750. But I mentioned before the tournament, you know, great for the people that got 60-1, 50-1, 40-1, 30, or even in the 20s. And I even saw some sharp people that were betting, you know, 12-1 this week. And I was saying, you're not only late to the party, you're late to the prom here, but the prom committee's already taken down the decoration and they're already at the after prom. So I think if you're betting him at this standpoint, you've just missed the boat. Now, could he go on and win? Sure. But I think he can be taken on a little bit as well.
Wes, I want to ask you about two of the pre-flop favorites here. DJ goes out, shoots 2 over with that double on 18. JT 1 over, including 1 over on the par fives today. Here at Circa, JT at 15-1 right now. DJ at 22-1. If you were to take a shot on either of those two guys now with those adjusted numbers, who would you go after?
If I were to do it, it would be Justin Thomas. But I'm probably going to take a pass, Jeff, because if you look at the last 16 years at the Masters, other than Tiger Woods, when he was off for a while and he won the Masters a couple of years ago, nobody has come from outside the top 10 after round one to win the event. So what is included in that top 10 right now is everybody 1 under or better. So that's basically 12 players if you want to look at those parameters. Everybody from Justin Rose all the way down to the guys at 1 under. Siwoo Kim, Kokrak, Shane Lowry, Tyrrell Hatton, Jordan Spieth. And then you take another parameter. No one outside the official world golf ranking top 16 has won the Masters in the last 9 years. So it's been players ranked in the top 16 or above. So those in that ranking category that are in the top 10 right now would include three players: Patrick Reed, Webb Simpson, Terrell Hatton. And I put a piece out, we're going to be putting it on VSiN.com, Brady Cannon and I, kind of looking at maybe some possible in-play plays after round one. And the two I went with were Webb Simpson, who I saw at around 20-1, and Terrell Hatton at 28-1. With Webb, he's the most overlooked player, arguably, in the world golf ranking top 10. He's currently number 9, former major champion. He's progressively improved here at Augusta really every year. He's top 5 in 2019, finished in the top 10 last year. Not the longest hitter in the world, but a fairly good ball striker. 6th in driving accuracy, 17th in greens and regulation, plus his scrambling. He is 2nd on tour in scrambling, and also around the green, 8th strokes gained around the green, 13th in strokes gained putting. He really did not putt very well today. We don't have official strokes gained stats, keep in mind, so we're kind of doing a little bit of a guesstimate here. But by the formula, he was pretty net zero in terms of his putting. He gained really in terms of his tee to green game. So Webb Simpson would be one I would target, and also Terrell Hatton at 28-1, who's number 8 in the world. He was 2 over after 4 holes. He 4-jacked, actually, at number 4. And, you know, he has that temper, let off a little steam, but got it together, got in the house at 1 under par. 18th on the tour in strokes gained off the tee, 10th in approach, 15th in proximity to the hole. He's going to go out tomorrow in the morning groupings, which the morning groups played about 2 strokes easier than the afternoon groups today. I think that probably stays the same. Maybe we're projected to get some rain in the afternoon on Friday and also in Saturday. So, yeah, that's going to make the course softer, but it's going to make it less firmer, too, in terms of the fairways, where it's hilly. So you're not going to get as much run out on those drives. So you've got two guys that aren't necessarily super long hitters like Hatton and Simpson that I think could really stay with it. And that kind of mitigates the driving distance of the bombers.
Wes, we got about a minute and a half or so here. And I'm just curious what your strategy would be going into matchups for the second round. The Westgate I'm looking at, as they always do, a plethora of their matchups. Circa has some matchups as well. You know, you're looking at, you know, anywhere from Hatton. I was just looking at his, he had one against Billy Horschel where he's, you know, -$1.35 against Horschel. You know, so many matchups. I don't know if any jumped out at you or you played any, but overall, do you have a method to your madness going into second round matchups?
Well, usually what I like to do, unfortunately, this data isn't readily available, so we're kind of having to make guesstimates in the formulas here. I usually like to fade the guys that really putted well and gained so much on the greens. And the number one in the field at doing that, I don't have the exact number, but number one in the field in strokes gained putting was Justin Rose by far, I think, today. So he would be one that I would maybe want to target a little bit. I think by and large, looking at the screen, I think it's Shane Lowry that's matched up against him at a plus price. I think he's about $1.15-ish, $1.10-ish. Is what I'm kind of seeing. And I would look to maybe go with Lowry against Justin Rose. And also Matsuyama, who doesn't really gain a lot on the greens, looked to gain about 2.5 strokes today. And Matsuyama has always had the look of a major champion, or especially at Augusta, but you know he's shaky with the putter. So I would look and see if I could get some guys as dogs against him. I think on the screen I'm looking at, I saw Jason Day. Now, no thanks on Jason Day necessarily against Matsuyama, but Matsuyama, I think the guy due for some putter regression tomorrow.
Wes, great stuff as always, and we'll be looking forward to your breakdown on VSiN.com for the second round and looking ahead to the Masters. Appreciate it.
You bet, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
There he is. Wes Reynolds, one of our golf experts. He, Brady Cannon, Matt Eumanns. Check out VSiN.com shortly for their breakdown. We'll get you updated on all the West Coast NBA action. Also, go behind the counter, top of next hour. Stick around. It's Nightcap here on VSiN.